Hey, welcome to Hidden Creek Community Church. Today is Sunday, March the 29th, 2020, and we're in our third week of isolation as a community and as a congregation. In spite of the discouragement and the fear and the worries and the loneliness that we faced over the last few days, the last couple of weeks, I am so grateful that God is using you to impact the lives of other people locally and globally. God is using you to speak into the lives of people in our community to each other as we go through this really tough time together. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 that says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, growing ever brighter until the full light of day." That passage has been so important to me over the last few days as I think about how discouraging it is that the virus continues to encroach around us and messes up our schedules and changes the course of families and their loved ones. In that passage, we hear that God has a righteous path that is a path filled with hope. And as we live on that path, He allows us to shine His light to the people around us. And I am so grateful for you as a congregation and the way you're caring for and serving each other. One of the big disappointments that Meg and I face right now is that we had plans for months that good friends of ours would be with us this weekend and would serve with us at Hidden Creek in the coming week, the Mullinex family. Some of you are familiar with them and how they've been long-term partners with Hidden Creek as they've served in the Middle East. God is repositioning them to serve churches and to serve pastors and ministries in new and exciting ways here in the United States. As a church, we've been looking forward to the Mullinexes being here, spending time with Marshall and Babs and Russell, and hearing stories about their dog, Bodie. Even though they're not able to be with us this morning, Marshall is going to join us over the internet from his home, from his living room in Indiana. I'm excited about what God has to say to me and to us today as we hear him teach, as he shares from God's word. Would you welcome Marshall Mullinex?
Good morning, Hidden Creek Community Church. It's a pleasure to at least be able to speak with you virtually today. I'm sorry that we were not able to be with you physically. It had been our plan. We'd been planning it for months, but with COVID and the shelter at home orders for our state and the adjacent state that we were going to fly out of, just became impossible for us to be there with you without directly disobeying the authorities that God has given us at this time. So it's with sorrow that we're not sharing with you today in person, but it's also unique in the fact that we have an opportunity to do something that we've never done, and that's to open the scripture up and to study the scripture with you virtually. And so there might be some advantages to it, the ability to mute, the ability to pause, the ability to walk away without being noticed. All those are probably real advantages for you. But I thank God that the same God that gave us the scripture, the same God that works in our lives, the same God that called us to himself, is a God that can be present here with us and present there with you. And no matter what the world looks like, he's not surprised. And he's ready to interact with us today because he's chosen us. We're his children. And so it's a unique opportunity to be able to at least approach together this way. And so I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're going to pray and just ask the Lord to meet us. So God, we thank you that we are able to meet with you, that first and foremost, we are your children, that our identity is certain and secure, that you are always good, that you're never surprised, that you're never caught off guard, that you're always going about your business and following through with your plan, and you are still excited about meeting with us and inviting us into each step we take. Thank you for this chance. Thank you that we live in a day and an age where we can remain connected. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you would like to meet with us today, and we invite you to do that, Lord. Visit with us. Teach us something from your scripture. Give us your perspective on our lives. Help us to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you might imagine, I think perhaps life for you is not looking the same as it would normally. Definitely life here is not looking the same that it would normally. But even before all this started, months ago, God started putting the book of Luke on my heart. And now I'm fascinated with the book of Luke. I'm actually fascinated with all the scripture, but I have some special connections to Luke. If we consider the reality that there is only one author of scripture, and that's God himself, that's the Holy Spirit moving men and women that he picked and chose to record his scripture at a given time, to record his story, and to record it in so many different ways and from so many different perspectives, but never to contradict himself through any one of these. It is quite amazing what he's done and the opportunity that we have to read and encounter him in his word. And I appreciate the perspectives that many of our writers, the writers that God chose, bring to the scripture. And I appreciate the perspective that Luke himself brings to the scripture, because as you may know, just a background on Luke, Luke is Greek. He is not Jewish. He's not one of the chosen people. He's a person who was not a firsthand witness of Jesus and his miracles and what he did. He was a later addition. He did go on missionary journeys. He did do a lot of things, but he was also meticulous historically. He's one of the few gospel writers, or probably a few New Testament writers, that actually goes out of his way to include times and dates and governments and historical facts that have been proven over and over again as giving a real setting and being real and at the time he prescribed them to be or described them as being. And so that facet of how he explains the story of the Lord is fascinating and exciting to me. And also the reality that Luke is educated and he's trained as a doctor. Now, while I can't identify with being a doctor, I think that doctors have a unique perspective on earth because they're always interacting with the physical and they're trying to solve that. And that would be what Luke did. But also, we see that in Luke's gospel, he speaks more about the interaction on the spiritual plane than any other biblical writer. In fact, he can describe symptoms that are purely physical, and Jesus heals those. And then he can describe the same symptoms that are actually derived from a spiritual reality, and Jesus comes in and heals those. So in that way, it's fascinating that the doctor, Luke, talks more about the demonic and the satanic and the supernatural than any one of the other writers. And we're going to actually encounter that today as we move through the scripture. So that's just a fascinating reality for me. And I think that's part of the reason that I'm often fondly called back to the book of Luke. And so I'm going to invite you today to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Now, I want to be careful in saying that. I know that sometimes my articulation is not as good as it could be. And even earlier this week, it was Babs asked me, "Hey, what are you going to speak with Hidden Creek about?" And I said, "Luke 11." And she said, "Ukulele? No, Luke 11. And so let's go ahead and open up the scripture to Luke 11, because I think there are some things in this chapter that are going to be informative for us today that can teach us things. And just so we think about where we are in the scripture, for me, looking at the overall structure of Luke is pretty fascinating, because here Luke arranges the first five chapters of his book as kind of the prelude at things that are being built together. And then we see this whole series from about 6 through 13, early part of 14, where there are truths that are being modeled and shown and done out in front of the disciples, and the disciples are getting commands and there's explanations. And then actually a number of times in this particular section of Scripture, 6 through about 14, we see this pattern where Jesus does some explanation and some teaching. And then a number of stories that all go back to something he taught in that first part of the chapter, or chapters are repeated or revisited and are revised. So there's this explanation, and then there's this demonstration, right? And then this section generally comes to an end when he walks into someone's house, and even though he's explained, even though he's demonstrated, they don't get it. And then they come at him, and it becomes a confrontation. And so we see this actual style used a number of times in Luke chapter 6 through about 13, 14, and it repeats, and sometimes it spans more than one chapter, but it is kind of a similar pattern. And actually, today we're fortunate because Luke 11 actually has all of these things within one chapter. And so that's the opportunity we have today. So as we look at the scripture, as we try to understand what God is teaching us in Luke chapter 11, I just want to invite you to consider how the words are, to consider what maybe God's message is for us from this. And I think there are things that we can pull out of this and understand better about who we are and who we're called to be. And the beginning of the chapter begins us. It says, on one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. Have you ever considered the strangeness of that request? Have you ever thought about how weird it is that here is Messiah, God incarnate, who has been identified as such by the disciples up to this point, and they've done great and wonderful, miraculous things. And then a man who never did a miraculous thing that we know of, John. Okay, you have a disciple, one of those closest to Jesus, and he walks up after God incarnate's been praying. Jesus, the Messiah, has been praying to his Father. He walks up and he says, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples to pray? What a strange request. Isn't there an element of that in us, where sometimes we approach Jesus and we want to bring an example from somewhere else and say, hey, look at this. Can you do that? But Jesus takes his time to meet that disciple where he's at, and he says, okay, if you want to learn how to pray, this is how you should pray. And then follows a recording, a unique recording of the Lord's Prayer. And the particular part of this recording of the Lord's Prayer that is so interesting is Luke is 11, verse 4. And if you want to look at verse 4, notice how it's written, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. You notice that? Forgive us our sins for, or because, or connected to, or because we've forgiven others. There's an interaction between us asking for forgiveness from God and us as having forgiven everyone else. And I think Jesus is very clear, and the reason he puts this in here and says this is how you should pray is because when we say these words, we should know what we're saying. Forgive me as I've forgiven others. Jesus is asking us to engage in a lifestyle of forgiveness. And the wonderful news about forgiveness as a lifestyle is that forgiveness is present no matter what else is going on. Perhaps today you're in your home, and you've been in your home, and you've been on Facebook, and you've read something that ticks you off. You have the ability to forgive. Perhaps you're in your home, and you've interacted with another member of your family, and they're ticking you off, and you have the opportunity. Matter of fact, you have the responsibility to forgive, because Jesus said this is how you should pray. Forgive me because I've forgiven them, or linked to the fact that I forgive others. And so I think that's challenge and opportunity number one for us today. No matter where we sit, no matter what the world looks like, we have an opportunity to exercise forgiveness and to take it seriously. And so that's the beginning of the story and the beginning of the teaching on prayer. But the teaching on prayer by Jesus continues. It actually goes further, and it uses this other story of persistence. of a man who knocks and knocks and knocks and bothers his friend, and because he's persistent, he gets what he asked for. He gets something good. And then Jesus uses this model and said, hey, you humans, even though you're human and you are limited in your ability to give good, you know how to give good, right? So why do you expect that if you're asking, if you're bold in approaching the Lord, why do you expect that a God of infinite goodness could do any less than what you could do as a person? Why do you get trapped up in there? And what are you asking for? And I would submit to us the idea that perhaps sometimes we twist this and we think about the things we want, and what we should actually be thinking about according to the Scripture is we should be persistently pursuing the good that God has prepared us to do no matter what the situation is. No matter where I stand today, God has prepared good gifts, good things for me to embrace and to do since before the foundations of the earth. And that's good news. But the bad news is that sometimes we're thinking about something else and looking at how someone else is being blessed and someone else is interacting so much that we forget to pursue God for the gift He has designed us to receive, the blessing that He's designed us for to receive and to give back out, the blessing we're designed to be and give. And the challenge, I think, for us in our prayer life is remembering to ask to ask persistently for the good gift that God has given you for the now, for this moment. How is it that I can participate with you in what you are doing on a grand scale, God? And as we continue on, we see in verses 14 through about 25 or so, 28, we see another thing where Jesus is out and He's healing and He does something miraculous. Here, again, reminder, Luke, the physician, says there's a man that's mute and there's a spiritual reality behind that muteness. There's a spiritual reality that we can't see behind the physical manifestation that we do see. And the physical manifestation is muteness. And Jesus recognizes not only what He sees, but He recognizes beyond what is seen. And He speaks into the beyond, and He commands the spirit to leave, and the man speaks. And that's a fascinating reality that Jesus could perceive beyond what we could know, beyond what's in front of us, beyond what we are able to take in. He could perceive the cause behind it, and He could speak to it. And the evidence of Him seeing it and perceiving it is that something changes. And at the same time, we have people who can't see beyond, right? Looking at what was done and giving a different reason for why He's able to do it. Rather than dealing with the fact that He did it, they want to justify themselves and say why He was able to do it. It's by Beelzebub. And Jesus says, look, you, just in a paraphrase, you people are so foolish. You don't even know how the spiritual world works. You can't divide against yourself and hope to win. And so now you have a choice to make. You know you can't divide against yourself and hope to win. So either I'm dividing against myself and hoping to win, which I just told you is impossible, or the kingdom of God is here and you're not responding. And are there places in our lives that we're so caught up in attributing reason or attributing something else that we miss the moment that Jesus wishes to intersect with us and show us the spiritual reality, show us the opportunity, show us that His kingdom is here, that His kingdom isn't far away, but that it's here. And as we see this story unfold, we see Him speaking of knowledge and wisdom that's beyond what we could understand, what we could know from His perspective as God, speaking into the natural so we can see. And what we see is a response by a lady speaking of the natural again, right? She shouts out, blessed is your mother and the one who nursed you. And Jesus says, I'm giving you the knowledge of the universe, and you're talking about someone who's not here. I'm speaking truth, and you're not applying it to where you are. And in verse 28, He said, blessed are those that hear the word of God and put it into practice. So blessed, rather than those that are not here, those that have been given an opportunity and recognize it and address it as a child of God. Is that what we're doing? Or are we looking off to say some false piety, to say something about something that's not here? Or are we recognizing what's here, what's now? Are we looking for God to do something here and now? And are we recognizing the fact that it matters to our lives? We keep on going. We see the sign of Jonah. We see the sign of the wisdom of Solomon. Both of these things are brought forward. And you're talking about repentance. You're talking about wisdom being proclaimed to people. And you're talking about a reaction to that. And the reaction to Jonah is repentance, even though Jonah was not speaking anything that they were not aware of. He was just saying, God's not pleased with you. And people responded to that. They didn't see a miraculous sign. They heard the preaching of righteousness and were repentant and responded to that. We have this queen of the south who came up to hear wisdom. Wisdom that Solomon could give, but as much wisdom as Solomon had, it was only what was here in the natural. And Jesus says, and now standing in front of you is someone who is greater than Jonah, someone who is greater than Solomon. What are you doing? What are you doing with the truth and the knowledge and the wisdom that I wish to give you today? And then Jesus proceeds to talk about the reality of light and a lamp. And He is the light. He is out. And He's inviting us to recognize that He wants to affect and infect our lives. He wants to fill us. He talks about the effect of light if we choose to embrace it versus the effect of light if we choose not to embrace it. And then comes those key words that I think I mentioned, that part that I talked about earlier, where Jesus walks into someone's house. And now we're going to see a confrontation that demonstrates what He's already been teaching. And He walks into the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee noticed that he doesn't clean his hand, and he's kind of, oh, you didn't clean your hands. And Jesus says, no, I didn't clean my hand. But here's the bad news. You haven't allowed the light to permeate you. You haven't cleaned the inside. What you are able and willing to focus on is everything that is that you have that will be seen. That's what He attacks the Pharisee for. Not the fact that he's done good things. Not the fact that he gives his tenth and his tithe like he should, because he should. But he attacks the fact that he doesn't follow that and connect it to walking in justice and mercy. And that's a message for us today, that we can get so tied up in one or another aspect that we pursue that wholeheartedly and we neglect others. And Jesus is calling us back to the reality that it's not an either or, it's a both and. You're to be generous and merciful and just. These are all parts of what you are. And what's more, you're supposed to be we are invited to be consistent. We're invited to have the light show us on the inside so that what we say on the outside matches what's on the inside. And once what matches on the inside matches what's shown on the outside, we have nothing to fear. But then we see these others, these brilliant minds, these scholars that approach and say, hey, Jesus, you know, you're offending us while you're saying this. And Jesus turns to them and says, woe to you. Woe to you because you make things complex. No, He doesn't say woe because you make things complex. Sometimes reality is complex. Instead, He says woe to you because you don't do anything to help people who are caught in complexity. Woe to you that you understand mysteries and you just drop them on people and you won't do anything to help them. Woe to you that you have this degree of knowledge and understanding that you refuse to apply to help someone. Woe to you that you won't stoop under and put your shoulder to the plow with someone and walk with them through darkness, through complexity, through hurt, and to the Savior. That's what He's criticized for. And so as we think about all of these things, as we think about the reality that this chapter reminds us to live in a constant state of forgiveness, the chapter reminds us that we are responsible to pursue God, the chapter reminds us that we're responsible for what we know and applying it to where we are, the chapter reminds us that we're responsible for hearing the words of God and putting them into practice here. We also want to recognize that if we fail to pursue our responsibilities, the fact that that doesn't exist will be our responsibility. If we fail to engage in the now, the absence of the goodness of God in the now is our responsibility, and we will be held responsible for it. So friends, in this interesting time, in this place, I just want to pray for you right now, and pray for me as well. So if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. God, we know that you are incredible. We know that you are a savior, you're a protector, you're the creator of all knowledge, you're the creator of all goodness, you are the definition of what is good, what is right, and what is just. And you invite us to be your children. And you've picked us to be your children. And you have invited us to ask you to receive good from your goodness. Lord, show us how we can intersect your goodness today. Show us how we can be light to those around us today. Show us how to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. Show us how and who we should be in this moment. And Lord, give us the guts to ask you and to pursue and to not stop asking until you've shown us the goodness we can do in the now, so that we can affect people, because people are just as important now as they were when you walked this earth, as they were when you created them. You've given us the ability to affect them. And we ask for the presence to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.